Before you right here and now, Father, just humbly exalting you as our Lord and our Savior. You're the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the wonder, Father, the hope of all men, all women, Father. We love you. We praise you this morning. I pray for your word, Father, to penetrate hearts this morning as we look at your scriptures and your word, that, Father, it gets in deep and brings about a life change, Father, from the inside out, that hearts are mended if they've been broken, but Father, that hearts are turned even more and more fully towards you, and that we look at the world and see the world from a different perspective, that we look at it and see it from your perspective, and that Father, that we honor you and glorify you with our life and see it as we have a great opportunity every day to encounter people to exalt the Almighty God and you as our Lord and our Savior, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So, as I got to looking at the purpose, okay, as Jesus is looking about being sent, I look at the purpose for mankind, and each one of you has a purpose, okay, and a greater purpose, something that is bigger than what you can currently see, okay? We can look at our life, and maybe some are doing some ministry things, or maybe some are, have family members that you're helping, or you're doing things, but we can look at our life and see what's currently going on, and I know without a doubt that there's an even greater purpose, okay? And it's part of that that I want to be able to express to you. God has made us, and I've said many times, that He has made us relational, okay? They need one another. We have people in our lives, many people, we leave our mother and father and cleave unto our wife and husbands and those kinds of things. We have children and families. We grow up with a family unit. There's all these things that the Bible shows us so much about. And then it comes to, you get into just personal relationships with people at work or people in your families or people at the ballpark like yesterday and those things for us. There's people there that we come in contact with. And I believe that part of that greater calling for each one of us is understanding the profound impact that we are having on the people around us. Okay, whether we see it or not, it is there. Somebody is remembering you and recalling things that you said or did today that you said yesterday. Okay, they're recalling that and remembering parts of those conversations, people that you encountered. Okay, but even with the most well-intentioned of Christians, I think it's easy to lose sight of the main purpose for being saved and still being on the earth today. Okay, if we're still breathing, we've still got a purpose. God's got a plan because we're going to encounter somebody else. Okay, I believe that you are a walking billboard. Okay, you are explaining to everyone that encounters you who God is. Okay, what God is like. You are a testimony of Jesus. You're revealing and effectively showing the world or everybody around you who Jesus is by your life. Okay, now Jesus is obviously our best example. When I said, I looked at man, how many times he said, God has sent me, or that I'm just glorifying the one who sent me. It's in there several, numerous times. But I figured out that he understood his objective from an early age. He understood that it wasn't just about him. It wasn't just about living a good life. He knew his life was all about honoring him who had sent him. Okay? It was about making sure that he knew what he was doing. Okay, even as a young boy, you guys remember the story, as Jesus was 12 years old, he knew that he had a higher purpose, and he knew who his higher purpose was for and about. You remember the story as his family went to celebrate the Feast of the Passover in Jerusalem, they actually lost track of the young Jesus for a time. And it took them about 3 days before they finally figured out he wasn't with them. They went back, they looked all over, and they finally find him in the synagogues, and he's learning and teaching and conversing with the doctors. And the Bible says that they were all amazed at his understanding of the things of God, to the point that they knew that there was something special about him. Okay, and I believe that people will encounter you and they will know that there's something special about you. They will realize that God has done something in this person's life. They may not be able to exactly put a finger on it, on what it is about you, but they'll know that there's something special, there's something unique about this person. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 47. It says, all that heard him, this is when the family finally finds Jesus, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother says unto Jesus, "Son, why hast thou you know, thus dealt with us, or why have you done this? Behold, thy father and I have sought for thee, sorrowing. And he says unto them, how is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? Okay, and he said from a young age he knew that he was there with that purpose to glorify his father. And part of his business was he needed to know what he needed to know to be able to share and to do those things. And so it was all part of that plan. He knew what he was here for. Okay, he knew that he was sent by his father God to show people what he was like, to be able to explain to them and show them the new covenant in his blood. Okay, it was up to him to do whatever it took to point people to God, to point people to his Father, and he understood that. And through all the times in his life, the good times, I'm sure he had, you know, joyful, fun times with the disciples and other people, and, you know, people were understood who he was, and they were a blessing unto him. And through all those times and through all the bad times, the times of being beaten and whipped and mocked and, you know, tormented and the things that happened in his life, well, through all those tribulations, it was imperative for him that he always handled them in a way that glorified his Father. Okay? He always wanted to glorify the Almighty God and point people to him. Okay? He couldn't retaliate, in other words. Okay? Somebody slaps him, you know, he even gave us instruction, if they slap you, just turn the other cheek, right? That was his way of handling it. But he knew he couldn't retaliate against them. Okay, think about some of these things as I'm saying it in your own life. How often we, you know, may be engaged in some of these. He couldn't retaliate. He couldn't get frustrated and lose his temper and lose it on somebody. You know, he couldn't call out somebody or belittle them. Okay, how often does that pride we talked about earlier, how often does that rise up and people begin to belittle someone else until it makes them feel just a little bit better, at least for that moment? Okay, and most of all, Jesus had to remain humble. Okay, he could not get puffed up and put people in their place. He couldn't let that rise up. He knew he had all power and all authority. He had everything he could possibly need. And yet he didn't rise up in that and just smash people and you know, turn them away or you know, put the naysayers in their place. He wasn't able to just turn up his nose at the sinner that gave their impression that they wanted nothing to do with him. Okay, how often have we done that, Christians? You know, there's somebody we just think they're too far gone. Okay, they're too far. Oh man, they don't want anything to do with God. We just turn away and walk the other direction. Okay, Jesus couldn't do that. He always remained humble, always knowing what he was called for. Okay, he was called to a higher purpose. He was called to manifest the signs and the wonders, the miracles, the Word of God. He was called to express to people what God was like, and he was called to live his life in a way that would not push people away, but a way that would draw people unto his Father. He knew what I hope that you will know by the end of this morning, of a greater understanding that we are not just here for our own glory. We're not just here. God's going to bless us, and it's going to be great and awesome, but it's not just about us. There's a higher purpose to the life that we live. Okay, Jesus was so humble as he shared his message on earth that there was a time when he literally points out that once we have Jesus inside of us, once we are a living testimony for him, that when we encounter people and they begin to receive us and kind of take us in, that it actually glorifies him who glorifies his Father. Okay, and that if you want to call it passing the buck, in other words, that when people encounter Jesus in us, it glorifies Jesus, yes, but Jesus is just easily passing that buck on to his Father and glorifying the one that sent him. Matthew 10:40 says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Okay, and so he's saying, if you got me in you and you're encountering people, just as you begin to rub off on them and they begin to be okay with you, you are glorifying me, which glorifies my Father. Everything about his life was about glorifying the Father. There's a guy, a quick story, but I coached with a guy in baseball. I coached for many years off and on, the last 8 years, I suppose, in baseball, little league stuff. And one of the guys that I coached with in the beginning of the season was pretty rough around the edges, and he knew right away. I mean, I'm pretty well pegged as that preacher guy, you know, I don't cuss, I don't chew, I don't do all the stuff, I don't talk the foul jokes. And it was kind of, it's pretty well known. And so this guy got stuck with me as an assistant coach, right? And so in the beginning of the season, he was pretty rough and really avoided me, really didn't want much to do with me, kind of kept me at bay and, you know, well, you can go work with them over there, and really didn't even talk to me that much. But as the season went on, I kept being me. And I kept letting Jesus come through my life. The more and more, I'm not bringing my Bible to practice kind of thing. I'm not. I'm just going and being a believer. I'm being a Christian. And I'm acting in a way that, you know, when things get out of hand, I'm not blowing up and cussing and doing all that stuff. And he began to watch, and it began to minister into his life. And through the season, by the end, the guy is coming to me, literally seeing me on the field and kind of coming across to find me to tell me about personal things in his life and things that were going on so that I could just know about it, just pat him on the back and tell him it's going to be all right, just encourage him a little bit. And so as the season went on, Jesus in me was being glorified because he knows that it's Jesus in me. He doesn't not going to come out and say that necessarily, but he knows there's something special about me. And so he began to want to be around me. And pretty soon, it's kind of like he wants to fellowship, wants to hang out, wants to spend that time. He watches how I work with my kids and how we do that stuff. And pretty soon, he's encouraged to do those kind of things himself. So that's Jesus in me, that he said, Jesus, he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. So we're all giving the glory to God. Jesus' whole life and his goal was to point people to the greatness of his Father. Okay, so why should it be any different for us? If we're Christian believers, we've got Jesus, our goal should be to glorify our Father, which is in heaven as well. Okay, everything that Jesus did as he showed us the way was about being mindful of God. In other words, not forgetting God, not forgetting what his purpose was, not forgetting who he was. How often have we reminded our kids, you know, if they get into something, you know what? You're a child of God. You're a Jesus kid. You're a preacher's kid. You need to act better. It's you're a child of God. Okay? And so we act a different way because of that, not because of our family or other things in there. So why should it be any different for us? Our goal is not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify Jesus Christ, because when he is glorified, when he is exalted, then our Father God is glorified as well. Jesus was always mindful to remember who had sent him, and it should be that way for us too. God has sent us into every place that we're at, our families, our workplace, our relationships, all the things that we're a part of. God is part of that with us because he is in us. John 5:30, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but I'm seeking the will of him that sent me. So he's thinking about how he can glorify his Father. Again, in John 6:38, he says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. That's that humility that he always remembered. It's not about me. He wasn't pumping himself up. It's all about me. He said, no, I'm just here to pump up the one that sent me. I want to give him the credit and the glory. Okay, Jesus didn't come to point out everyone's faults and failures and to make people feel small or less than him. He came to show the people the way of salvation, okay, to reconcile them unto God. So your goal then is not to be critical of everyone else either. Okay, how often do we just want to put down the people around us so it makes us look a little better, makes us feel better? Okay, how often do we want to just show up somebody? I know how to do that, and you just jump in and do it. I had a boss like that once, it drove me nuts. Okay, everything, can you show me how to do this? Oh yeah, you just do this, this, and this, and they just kind of one-upped you. They just wanted to show that I know everything and you don't know anything. And it really kind of beats on you after a while because you want to be taught. You want to be able to grow in it and get better at things as well. So remember that. Our goal is not to be critical of everyone. Your purpose isn't to judge people and to tell them how they need to be. Okay? And here's the... Oh, anybody remember years ago? And I'll pick on Peyton Manning for any Bronco Colt fans, okay? But Peyton Manning, years ago, there was a commercial out, and he was the one that was telling people how he would do it, okay? And so the guy comes out of the grocery store with his bags, and the bags fall through, and he says, I'd have double bagged it, you know? And so his idea was telling everybody how he would have done things. That's not the way that God wants us to be, Okay, no offense to Pete, I like the guy, but God wants us to point people not to be like me. Okay, now I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't follow Christ and people follow us as we follow Christ. The Apostle Paul said that, and that's not what I'm referring to. But what I'm saying, you need to do it like I do it. Okay, that's different than saying we need to do what God wants us to do. Okay, we need to follow God's way and follow His word. Okay. Your aim is to point people to God and to tell them this is what God says. Okay? So often even in messages or sermons or things that I may say, my goal is not to tell you this is the way Gary Gilbert does it in my family and you should do it that way. My goal is to say this is what God says, this is what He wants you to do, and just pointing you to Him. One of the feasts that Jesus went to, the Jews were there and they were amazed at how well Jesus seemed to know and understand the things of God and how well He knew what God's plan was. And Jesus tells them in John 7:16, He says, "My doctrine is not mine, but it is His that sent me." Okay, so He was telling them, this isn't just me, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, telling you what I think you should do. This isn't me as a man. This is me passing on to you what God says for you. This is the new covenant. In other words, He was passing that on and just saying, this is not some doctrine I made up. This is what God wants for you to know. Again, in John 8:26, He says, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world just those things which I have heard from Him." He said, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just telling you what my Father said. I'm just telling you what God said. Okay? If you remember, He came not into the world to condemn the world, but He came into the world to save it. Okay? He had many things. And if you look at the scripture, He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But He didn't. Okay, that wasn't His purpose, was to come and to criticize. Yeah, He confronted the Pharisees and He confronted people that needed it at times, but that wasn't His sole purpose. Okay, He came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. He had many things that He could have said in judgment, but He held His tongue and simply told them what God was saying to them. Okay, you got to remember, Jesus came as a anointed as a man. Okay, we tend to think of Him, and I don't want to get into doctrinal stuff here, but we say, you know, Jesus was God. He knew everything. Well, Jesus was a man, okay? He also had that mentality that pride and other things could rise up, but He withstood that stuff. He held it back because of the anointing of God, okay? So He had these things. If He wanted to say, I really don't like those shoes. Those are the ugliest sandals I have ever seen, okay? He could have said that stuff, but He didn't. Okay, and that's just a small judging thing, but I'm just saying He could have said a lot more, but He didn't. He held His tongue, and He simply told people what God was saying to them. There's a good example, a lot of them in the Bible, but here's one on Jeremiah. He was a guy that God was using as a voice, and when He talked to the people, He went to the cities of Judah, and He exhorted them and said, hey, you guys need to repent. You got to turn back. You've turned away from God. Well, when He did that, the people got pretty mad at Him. They didn't want to hear what He was saying, and they started accusing Him, saying, this is just what you are saying. This isn't what God's saying. This is just you. This is what you're saying. So He has a conversation with them, and He reminds them, just like we should do in a conversation, that it's not His words that He was relaying to them. These are the words of the Lord. Okay, God had sent Him to prophecy to them to turn away from their evil ways. Jeremiah 26:12 says, Jeremiah spake unto the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against the city, and all the words He told me, all the words that you have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent Him of the evil that He has pronounced against you. For as for me, I love this part. Okay, here's the humility. As for me, He says, behold, I'm in your hands. You can do to me whatever seems good and meet unto you, but know this for certain, that if you put me to death, shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words into your ears. He says, you can do whatever you want to me, but in the end, you're going to know that it was the Lord that sent me unto you. I'm just telling you what God says. Okay, I'm just sharing with you what God wanted you to know. okay? He's speaking the words of truth to him. And that's that humility that we should have as Christ followers, that we're willing to share what God wants to say to the people around us and not shy away or hold back because we're afraid of how they're going to respond or what they may say or how that's going to turn out. Okay, you didn't send yourself. You didn't come up with the gospel message, right? Did anybody make up the story of Jesus and all that? We didn't. We're just sharing with others what the Lord has given unto us and told us, share this with other people. We're just passing that along to other people. You didn't come up with the gospel of God's love and grace on your own. You simply are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You're just passing that message on. Okay, so humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let Him lift you up in due time. Okay, wait on the Lord and know and trust in Him that He will know that as we humble ourselves and we just share what God is telling us to share, He will exalt you in due time. Okay, your goal is not to point people to you into how great you are. Okay, your goal is not to show people that I'm some great one. Okay, I knew some Christian folks one time and, you know, I guess I could say that God had blessed them. They were very, very wealthy, and God had, you know, done some things in their life. But they loved to draw people to themselves. They loved to get people, oh, look at me. Look at my fancy house. Look at all I can buy for you. Look at what my money can do. And then they would kind of, not maybe literally say it, but the message was, look at all how God has blessed me, and He'll bless you too if you'll follow Jesus. Okay, and that message was sending the wrong message that, you know what, it's about being like me and then God will bless you, and that's not the gospel of Christ. That's the self-centered gospel of me. That's look at me and try to be like me instead of look at God and try to be more like God, and that will bring all that other stuff upon you. Okay, it sends that wrong message. Okay, that's sort of like saying that the egg is better than the chicken that laid the egg. Okay? It's sort of like saying that the milk is better than the cow that gave the milk. Okay? It's kind of putting that, you know, saying that the gift is greater than the giver of the gift. Okay? Look at the gifts. Look at the gifts. Look at the gifts that God has given me. Okay? But that takes away from the one that has given those gifts. Okay? Jesus had an opportunity to correct the Pharisees as they were getting off in their doctrine on this very topic. And He told them that, hey man, your doctrines are wrong. You got it backwards. You're glorifying the gift more than the giver. You're glorifying that which is put on the altar more than the altar that actually sanctifies it. Matthew 23:16, He says, woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, now he's a debtor. And He says, you fools and you blind, what is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold worth something? Okay? And He goes on, it says, whosoever shall, you guys say, whoever swears by the altar, it's nothing, but whosoever swears by the gift that's upon it, he is guilty. You fools and blind, whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies or makes the gift better, makes it sanctified or set apart? Okay? It's not about magnifying your own name. Okay? It's not about showing how great you are. It's about showing how great Jesus Christ is. Okay? Now, I've shared testimony of my life and some of the stuff God has brought me out of and all the addictions and all that things in the past. And as God did all that, it's not about me and how, look how great my life is now. It's all about Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus did in my life. Okay, people ask, how did you get set free or how did you do that? It's all Jesus. I can answer it in one word. It's Jesus. Okay, that's how that stuff happens. Okay, it's not about magnifying you. It's about pointing people to Jesus. He's the one that saves, not you. He's the one that does the healing. It's not you. He's the one that gave you the talents and the abilities that you have, not you. Okay? Now, we study, we practice, we do our things to hone what God has given us, but in the end, we give the credit and the glory to God for what He has given unto us. Now, the disciples got off track a little bit in this same topic. Jesus had to rein them back in a little bit and say, wait a minute, you guys are starting to go down that way of the world. And so He brings them back in. Matthew 9:33, Jesus came to Capernaum, and being in the house, He asked His disciples, what is it that you guys were disputing about yourselves on the way or on the way here. But they held their peace on the way there, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And so he sat down, he calls his 12 unto him and says to them, if any man of you desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child, and he sets him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he says unto them, whosoever shall receive such a children in my name receives me. And whosoever shall receive me receives not me, but him that sent me. Again, saying it's not even about me. Jesus took that road of humility and said, it's about my Father. So this is a good lesson for those that are either in ministry or have a desire to be in ministry, to remember your calling and who has put you in that place. Okay? For people on the worship team, we've got several that are playing and singing now. Children's teachers, youth leaders, and other people that serve in the body, it's not about showing how great you are. It really isn't. It's about showing how great Jesus is. Okay? It's about showing how awesome God is. So sometimes we have to humble ourselves. Get off of, if we get on a high horse, take yourself back down before, I call it getting your feet kicked out. God doesn't do that, but it does happen. Okay, but that's the best way for me to express that is when people get puffed up and they start riding high and thinking that I'm great and I'm all this and I'm that. Man, the devil is the one that will kick your feet out at some point. But usually he'll let you go for a long time like that, because you're getting all the glory and God's getting none of it. So the devil will let you ride like that, and if you begin to say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to be this way anymore, God will begin to reveal and you'll be able to humble yourself before something happens that'll knock your feet out. Okay, John the Baptist is a great one that knew his role. Okay, he was coming to tell people about Jesus, and at one point he says, he just declared that he knew, he figured it out. He says, I must decrease, but he must increase. He's talking about Jesus. John 3:30, he says, talking about Jesus, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Because he that comes from above is above all. Okay, he knew his place. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth, but he that comes from heaven, he's above all. He knew his position under Jesus. I believe that when you are so good at your role in the body of Christ that you are invisible, you've figured it out. Okay? When you're invisible, when you are that person in your workplace that does all the stuff behind the scenes that nobody even knows about, but you're the one that keeps the place functioning and flowing smoothly, that's what makes things happen. Okay? I know I tell a lot of stories about my kids, but you know, one of my sons yesterday, we were giving out a game ball after the final game, and there was one of the kids that he's just a little guy and had kind of struggled the whole season and stuff. And I said, who didn't get one yet this year? And he said, I didn't get one, coach. I didn't get one. And so I said, well, here you go, buddy. You know, go ahead and take this game ball. Well, after we got home, Isaac said, Dad, I didn't get a game ball all season. Didn't I play good? Wasn't I a good player? You know, and I'll tell you what, that kid, this is my youngest one, he's the catcher. Okay, he touched the ball on every pitch almost. You know, every time the pitchers come and go, they'll go through 100 pitches in a game for one pitcher. They can, you know, pitch about that many with warm-up pitches and stuff. He caught every single one of them. And as the season went on, he got better, and he ended up being the kid. And I kid you not, that for our, we had a winning season and a good season. He's the kid that made it so. Okay, but he did behind the plate. He didn't, you know, if that ball hits the glove and goes off to the side, guess what they do? They steal bases. Okay, and that's how they score runs in Little League. 9 times out of 10, it's not a good hit. It's stealing bases. That's how they steal. And they'll steal home. Okay, the catcher is the guy that's got to get them out at home. And so he got us over and over and over again. He made it so that they did not get to steal bases by catching that ball, or if it's a wild pitch, he'd lunge at it, knock it down, because if he could keep it in front of him, they weren't going to steal a base because he'd pick it up and throw them out. So he would knock it down and keep it in front of him. And the whole season he did that with zero, I mean, the coaches, me and the other guy, we praised the guy. I mean, we told him good job and good catches, but he didn't get that game ball. The idea is that he was that quiet one on the team. He never boasted. He never said, you see how I stopped that ball? None of that. Not like the pitchers. You know, pitchers always boast. not like the kid that hit the grand slam. They always boast, I get the game ball, I hit the grand slam. Okay, this was a kid behind the scenes that did all that work and made it happen and gave us a winning season. Okay, and that's the way it is in our workplaces or the places where we go, or especially in the church, body of Christ. It's that behind the scenes stuff that makes things flow and function. It's the people that, you know what, I'm not physically able to do, you know, I can't fix the roof or I can't do that, but you know what, God has blessed me and I'm going to give. You know, that's a great way to be that behind the scenes person, or to be in an environment where, you know what, we don't have that much space. It's hard to add 16 more people up here for a choir and stuff. So rather than being up here doing this stuff, maybe it's, you know, some of the other functions and doing things within the ministry that are necessary for ministry to flow and to function. Those are the behind the scenes. God sees that stuff. He knows what's going on. He's not missing a click, you know, when it comes to what you're doing behind the scenes. And I believe it's those people that are really putting it in there. It's not the guy up front that makes things happen. It's the ones that are behind the scenes that do that. Now, I know as a pastor, I get compliments all the time. You know, people, not all the time. Okay, I get compliments on my sermons. Okay, people say, praise God, that was a powerful sermon, Pastor. And every single time I get uncomfortable. Every single time I'm like, praise God, you know, because it's Him. I don't want you looking at me and my sermons and, you know, how well manicured my sermon was. You know, who cares? It's about lives that are changing. It's about, you know, seeing something that's different in your life, or noticing, you know, man, when I watch people in here, lives have transformed that used to be kind of messy and sloppy and whatever, and they're coming together and lives are being put together and they're sharing Christ with other people. And when I see those things, then I know that God is doing the work. That's what's important to me. You know, I had one time a guy came up afterwards and said, Pastor, really liked your sermon. It took me a long time to figure out where you were going with it and why you were using these examples and all that, but boy, you really brought it all back together at the end. And I thought, you know, the guy didn't hear my sermon. He was listening to the words and trying to figure out how I was going to pull all it back together, but he missed the point. Okay? It should change a life. It should be doing something on the inside. So, speaking of sermons, I need to finish this one up. Okay, the key to steering people in the right direction, okay, to getting them in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, to point them in that direction, the key to that, never lose sight of who has sent you. Okay, always remember you're a Christian first. Above all else, you're a believer. You're a child of God. You are a Christian first. Okay, everything else will fall into line somewhere after that. Okay, John said, and Jesus said in John 7:29, he said, I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Okay, if you look up just sent me, it's in there over and over again. Jesus always pointed people to God. Okay, he wanted them to know, but he was able to say, because he lived it out, he was able to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father except through me, but my Father sent me. It's all about him. He always gave that credit back to God. Okay, so as far as our role as a believer, hey, a follower in Christ, remember that no matter what you're going through, good or bad, you are a living example to the people around you of what your Savior is like. Okay? Give you a Bible example. Many of you can recall the story of Joseph. Okay, remember the guy got picked on by his brothers, and eventually they sold him into slavery. They threw him in a hole first, right? And then guy comes along looking for slaves, and so they sell him to the slave trader, and he goes on and is persecuted and gets into the jail, and pretty soon God starts opening doors of blessings for him, and he interprets some dreams, and pretty soon he's promoted and he's up to the second in command and in all the land, okay? And even after he went through all that stuff, he gets to the point where he has to explain how he got to where he was, and he gives all the credit to God and says, sorry, brothers. You know, they were going to be able to try to take some credit for putting him into that situation, and he says, sorry, guys, it really comes down to God. Okay, I'll give you this last scripture here in Genesis 45. Joseph, this is when he finally comes together. His brothers are meeting with him. They didn't even know it was him at this point. And he says, Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. They thought he was dead. Joseph says unto his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he says, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, neither be angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He said, God put me here for this purpose. For these 2 years has famine been in the land, and yet there's 5 years in which there shall not neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but it was God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph knew that God was in control, and he simply remained faithful to God during all those trials and all the good. He never lost sight of God. Okay, he didn't blame other people for his situation. He didn't say, it's because, you know, I'm having all these problems because of you and what you did in my life. He constantly knew that God was with him, and he lived just, you know what, God, you're with me. I'm going to go through this. It hurts. I'm being persecuted. I'm going through stuff. But God, you are with me. And he never lost sight of that. He always lived his life knowing that God was with him. So when you go through stuff in your life, okay, and I call it stuff. Sometimes it's tough stuff, right? When you go through that tough stuff, it is the lie of the enemy that tells you that God is not with you. Okay, he will try to tell you that you've been separated, that it's just you're going to have to go through these things on your own. Romans 8:28 says that we know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to God's purpose, according to his purpose. When you're going through that tough stuff, when you're being persecuted by unbelievers, okay, when you're being picked on by the devil, that's a time to remind yourself, remind the devil, and go ahead and even remind God, like he would need it, that your life is all about glorifying him. Whatever I'm going through, I am going to give glory to God in one way or another because God will work this out for my good. And during those times, in the midst of those trials, is the time to say, you know what? All things work together for my good. God, I can't wait to see how you're going to work this one out for good. Okay? Because it doesn't look like it at the time, but he will do it. That's where we remain humble and he will exalt us in due time. Okay? During the middle of it, remember the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So live out your life knowing that you were created for the glory of God. And that when you go through things, they're going to be looking at you to see how you're dealing with it, how you're handling it. I had an opportunity yesterday. Things got really heated at the ballpark. It was a championship tournament. Things, tempers flared and all that stuff. And I had opportunity and I really had to hold back. I mean, everything I wanted, it involved one of my own kids, and I'm like, man, I'm all over this, and I got up to the umpire, and you guys will understand this, visibly shaking. You know those kind of moments, okay, where it gets that heated, and tempers are flaring, and people are yelling at you, and things are right there. Even at that moment, it came to my mind, I'm a Christian. I have to do the right thing. I have to handle this the right way. And I didn't let loose. I didn't scream or cuss or do all those other things. And praise God that it all turned out. Eventually, it all worked out for good. And things came back to where it needed to be. But praise God, we know that everything that we do, we're going to have that opportunity to give glory to God. We're going to have to give him some praise through it in some way, shape, or form. Okay, it'll help you to live your life in a way that glorifies him when you never lose sight that it's him that sent you. He's got you where you're at. Just go with God. You're still with me, Father. Let's go through this together. Hallelujah. Father God, we're praising you this morning. I thank you for your word, Lord. There's so many places in it, Lord, where you show us that you were sent and that you love to glorify the one that sent you. And Father, I pray that as we live our lives, that we never lose sight that we have been sent. We've been called for a higher purpose, and that is to give glory to you as our Father, as our Savior and our Father, that you will be exalted in some way, Lord. And that as we go through things, Lord, I pray for that strength. I pray you will cause us to endure and to maintain integrity, that we will walk in the fullness of your peace. And that, Father, we will draw from you in those moments when we most need you to be able to continue giving you the praise and the glory through it, Lord. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. We love you. We praise you. And we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.